1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to remember, my brothers, and not be ignorant about what happened to our fathers. They were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, that's the Red Sea, into Moses. So he's saying that they are representing us, we who are baptized into Jesus. Now, of course, a cloud is just water, and there was cloud, there was water on top of them, and there was water both sides of them as they passed through the sea. So it was as if they were covered in water. There was water both sides of them and on top of them. But instead of being baptized into Moses, we are baptized into Jesus. So before we were baptized, we were in the world, we were in Egypt, living a pointless life with no hope. But then when we're baptized, we come out of Egypt and we then travel towards the kingdom. But we've got to go through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, we are going to then be tested and troubled by all the different things that happened. And yet God gave them deliverance and blessing all the time. And he fed them every day with manna, bread from heaven, and he guided them all the time. And that's what he will do with us after we're baptized. But of course, Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. And that's like a lot of people who start the Christian walk, then they want to go back to the world. And Israel was so stupid, they were saying things like, oh, but the food was so nice there, it was so lovely, it was so tasty, there was garlics and onions and things like that. When actually they were working, the Egyptians were whipping them and killing them. And even killing all their baby boys. And they said, ah, but it was wonderful there, it was better there. It just shows that we all tend to think that the grass is greener on the other side. We always think that it must be better there than it is here. And this is a very basic human weakness. All of them ate the same spiritual bread and drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that went with them, and that rock represented Christ. So then it seems that a stream of water that had come from the rock that Moses had struck came running after them. So they always had water in the desert. But God was not well pleased with most of them, and so their dead bodies fell in the desert. Now, all this is an example to us, to warn us not to desire evil things as they desired evil things, not to worship idols as some of them worshipped idols. As the scripture says, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and then they rose up to play. We must not be guilty of sexual immorality, as some of them were, and fell in one day 23,000. We must not put the law to the test as some of them did, and they were killed by serpents. We must not complain as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer, that is the angel that was sent to destroy. All these things happened to them as examples for us, and they were written down for our warning, for we live at the end of the times. Whoever thinks he's standing should be careful lest he fall. In other words, if you look at Israel in the wilderness and think, oh yeah, that was pretty awful what they did, but I'm not like that. Well, you must be careful. That's the context in which he's saying this. You've got to be careful lest you are not the same. Every test that you have experienced is the kind that happens to all people. He's saying that you are going through the same experiences as Israel went through. But God will be faithful to his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested above your power to endure it. But at the same time, he will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So that's a wonderful encouragement. And we all tend to think that, ah, no, this temptation, this test, this provocation is too much, and so I must sin. But we don't have to sin, because God will not put us in a position where we must sin. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says the same, that God will not allow the righteous to be so tested that they put forth their hand to commit sin. So all the sin that we do is completely our fault. And we cannot say that we were forced into it and that we were given some situations that were too much for us. That is not true, because all our sins are our fault, are they not? And so that's a wonderful comfort. So then, my dear friends, keep away from idolatry. I speak to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup which we drink at the Lord's table, that for which we give thanks, and we drink from it, we're sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, when we eat it, we are sharing the body of Christ. Because there is one loaf of bread, and although we, being many, we are one body, for we all are part of the same loaf. That's why it's foolish to think that we can separate from others who are in the body of Christ. Consider the people of Israel after the flesh. Those who eat what is sacrificed at the altar share in the work of the altar. So am I implying then that an idol or the food offered is really something significant? No. What I'm saying is that what is sacrificed on pagan altars is offered to demons which are not God, that is, idols which are not God. Now, I do not want you to be partakers with demons. You cannot drink the Lord's cup and also the cup of the idols or demons. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and also at the table of demons or idols. Or do we want to make the Lord jealous? Do we think that we are stronger than him? So what they were doing, they were mixing their Christian worship with worshipping idols. They thought that by offering to the idols, they were serving God. They were mixing it all up. And this is always how the flesh has been, always wanting to mix the flesh and the spirit. All things are lawful, but not everything is wise. So he's saying it's not a case of is this a sin or is that a sin? The point is what is wise and what is helpful and what is loving for others, rather than writing a list of rules and saying we must keep these things and anything else we're free to do. Let no man look simply to his own interests, but also to those of others. You are free to eat anything that's sold in the meat market without asking any questions because of your conscience, for as the scripture says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you decide to go, eat what is put before you without asking questions because of your conscience. But if someone says to you, this food was offered to idols, then don't eat that food for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake. That is, not your own conscience, but that of the other person. Well then, you might object, why should my freedom to act be limited by another man's conscience? If I praise God for my food, why should anyone complain about the food for which I give thanks? Well, whatever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, do it all to the glory of God. And live in a way that causes nobody to stumble, neither Jews nor Gentiles, nor the Church of God. Follow my example. I try to please all men in all that I do, not thinking of my own good, but the good of the many, so that they might be saved. Follow me in imitating Jesus Christ.